You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right, so I'm going to do my best to keep my shit together through this intro because it's been a process to even hit record on this. I'm very excited for this episode. I'm joined by one of my closest friends and my housemate, Kim DeMassey. Kim, welcome.
Thank you.
Kim's the kind of person, we have the kind of dynamic where we could talk about anything at depth and length pretty much. And so we sort of sat down a couple of days ago and said, you know, what do we really want to dig into in this podcast? And I'm excited for this conversation because I feel like it's something that probably isn't heavily spoken about or maybe not quite in the flavor that we're going to speak about it today. So Kim, do you want to start off by telling us a bit about you?
Thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Kim DeMassey. I'm a trauma-informed personal coach for men and women, and I really love and am brilliant at supporting people with releasing trauma, being able to express themselves authentically, and just really coming home to the truth of who they are and being all of their selves.
Love that. So I first met Kim. I did a workshop in 2019. With Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos. And of course, Kim was one of the guardians, one of the support coaches in the room. And I can say that I've definitely experienced her magic. And we've hosted a couple of workshops together as well. Yep. So yeah, her work is pretty fucking incredible. I would name that. So where the hell do we start?
We want to talk about parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Families, but parents in particular. Mm. And I don't even know how we got onto the subject the other day when we just started talking about our families, but we're talking about parents and how as we've gotten older, we've really come into this space of wanting to learn more about them and know more about who they actually are, not as a parent as such, but just as a person, as a human being.
Yeah.
Because when you like grow up, you don't really get to learn. Well, my experience was you don't really get to learn that. You just know them as mum and dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've definitely grown up almost seeing like mum and dad as like, the adults that have it all together.
Yeah.
You know, like as you grow up, they're your heroes, like they're your protectors, your guardians. Yeah, as I've gotten older and started to, I guess, have more of my own experience of life, it's I've really come back to like, hang on, like these are two human beings who've had their own challenges and their own stories and made their own mistakes and, you know, learnt their own lessons along the way. And, you know, my parents will, as are all of our parents, they're getting older, also living away from them. You know, they're down in South Australia while I'm here in Queensland. I'm really aware of time.
Yeah.
The amount of time that I have left with them and making use of all of it.
Yeah. And we were talking about this the other day about there was a video, a reel, I think it was, that I sent you or you or I shared it on Instagram a few months back of the time that you have left with your parents. And this guy was in it. They were in an interview. I think they were actually doing a podcast, but the guy being interviewed was speaking into, he asked the interviewer, where are your parents still alive? And the guy was like, yes, they're 74 and 76. And he goes, okay, so on average, they've probably got about 5 years left. If people live to about 80, give or take a few years, your parents have about 5 years left. How often do you see them? And he was like, oh, twice a year. And then the guy was like, right, so if you only see them twice a year and they've only got about 5 years left, you might think you have 5 years left with them, but you actually only have 10 times left with your parents. And like that hit me so much because I was like, fuck, that's so true. Like you think, oh yeah, if you're averaging out, they've got about 5 years left. But no, if you only see them two times a year, you've only got 10 more visits with your parents.
Yeah.
And actually made me so grateful that my parents moved down here to the Gold Coast in December last year, because my sister and I are in Brisbane and Gold Coast. And it just made me think of how grateful I am that they moved down here, even though there were times as I was growing up where I was like, oh, you know, like I don't need to see my parents that often, you know, because they're just my parents. Like, and sometimes they're annoying, like, fuck, they're annoying. And then as I got into my 40s, I've been like, wow, I actually want to spend more time with them and learn about them. And if I was to only have a few years left with them, I want to spend so much of that time getting to know who they are and what their experience was in my childhood. So, because I have my own experience of what my childhood was like with them, but I want to know what their experience was.
Yeah, that stands out for what you've just said there. That last piece really stands out of, like, you know, I'll be the first to say, and I share this openly, like particularly my relationship with my dad, I grew up feeling quite like disconnected from him. And I was always sort of, I guess, nitpicking the ways in which he didn't love me or show up for me the way that I wanted him to.
Yeah.
And as I've kind of started to, I guess, more deeply value my time with him and see it as, I guess, for lack of a better term, a limited resource, I've started to get curious about why he has been the way he has been, you know, and like what were the beliefs that were instilled in him? Like what paradigm did he grow up under that have had him show up or not show up in the ways that he has? And the really cool thing about that is as I've started to kind of ask more questions and get curious about him as a human being rather than my dad who has this job that he either failed or succeeded in, it's like I see him in a completely new light now. Like I accept him for who he is, and that's completely flipped it from me nitpicking all the places where he wasn't perfect and instead seeing all the places that he tried. You know, and like I can honestly, I can honestly say now, like my relationship with my dad, like I think I probably spent the first, you know, 21 years feeling like he failed me. And now it's like, oh my God, how did I not see how much this man fucking loves me? And, you know, I can genuinely say he's one of my favorite people on the entire planet, you know, and it just came from flipping the script and really seeing him as like a human being, an imperfect human being.
And so it's not something that he did.
No.
It was something that you did within yourself.
And the cool thing is when I shifted that in me, he actually shows up differently now. You know, like there were a lot of things that dad didn't do that I felt he had to do in order for him to love me, like saying I love you.
Yeah.
And as soon as I flipped it and went, oh my God, dad fucking adores me. Like this man will go to the ends of the earth for me. He just doesn't do it in, he just doesn't do it verbally.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like overnight, there was just one day where he rang me and said at the end of the phone call, rather awkwardly, bless him, I love you. And I was like, holy fuck. And all it took was me shifting that in myself, you know, to shift him.
Yeah. And you know what? That just makes me think about how much this shows up in, particularly in the like personal development industry, where we, like as coaches, we're supporting people and guiding them to see where their patterns and conditioning come from, right? And so most of the time it's come from childhood, your parents, whatever, or someone in your life then. And a lot of people then go, oh, well, that's why I'm this way. That's why I do this thing, because of my parents, because they had this belief or they had that conditioning. But they do it in a way of as though they're kind of giving themselves an excuse for the way they're being and also blaming someone else. So they're putting all the power outside of themselves to someone else. And they get this kind of, I've seen this a lot with clients where they get this kind of resentment towards their parents then of like, well, you made me this way. And like, I guess our job as coaches is to kind of shift that to looking at where you as an adult now can take your power back and actually take responsibility for changing and shifting that within yourself rather than blaming your parents or asking them to be different. Because if you think about it, Like my parents, my dad's 75 on Saturday. So more than likely he's not going to change, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's at that age where he's like, they're kind of just like, we're old, fuck it, we just do whatever. And you notice that as people get older, like my nonna used to be like that. Like she just would not give a fuck what she said to anybody because she was like 80 something and she just said whatever was true for her. But yeah, just not like not blaming them or putting it on them to be different. Now we get to take that power back and be responsible for ourselves and how we show up now and shifting that within ourselves so that we are not doing that to our children if we choose to have them or even other family members or friends that we have, people in our lives.
Well, yeah, it's that difference between like if they were different, I'd be different.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, like you said, handing over the power and it's like I'm a victim that had this thing happen to me versus going, well, I'm going to shift it and transform it for myself and heal the lineage backwards.
Yes.
You know, like that was the big sticking point for me where, yeah, I spent so many years like I have these limiting beliefs because of mom and because of dad and, you know, like wishing they were different, which just repeated the cycle and kept me stuck in it.
Yeah.
Versus going, well, I'm an adult. Yes, what's done is done, and trusting that I've been brought up in that paradigm for a reason. So then choosing to actively heal it and then watching it shift in my parents.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I really do believe that, like, when we shift, our entire world shifts, you know, like we are the center of the universe. And yeah, it's that difference between just being completely powerless and at mercy of circumstances versus like being the creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can see a lot of my own patterns and behaviors and where they come from within my parents. And I, like, as I've gotten older, I'm like pointing out, like, wow, I just did that thing that is so like dad.
Yeah.
That I used to dislike in him. I'd be like, oh, why does he do that? And then I see it in myself now. I'm like, fuck, I'm doing that thing. And it's only me who can decide to, if I want to, change that.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting for me now because my nephew is almost three. In February, he'll be three. And I see how different my parents are towards him and how, like, and I've heard this a lot with even friends of mine and stuff who've said that, you know, like they may have had a disconnected relationship with one parent. But as soon as they had a child and that parent became a grandparent, that parent, whether it's the mum or the dad, has just become like a new, let's say it's dad, a new dad to that child. It's like they're redoing their fatherhood over again, but as a grandparent.
Yeah.
And I see that with my parents and my nephew. It's like they would like, oh, this is going to make me emotional, but they would literally give their fucking life for him. And I know that they would do that for me too. And it's so beautiful to witness. Like they would literally go broke if he needed money. They would give him the shirt off their back. They would give him and my sister, because it's her child, like just anything that he needed or she needed for him. And I do know that they are like that for me. I've witnessed that as well as I've gotten older and seen it with him, where they just like, I fully know in my body that if I needed them to give me something that was so fucking hard to ask for and that they didn't even have, they would find a way to get it for me.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It makes me so emotional because I'm like, I never used to realize that. It's like you don't get these things until you're older, you know?
This is, you and I were chatting about, you know, for me, and this almost feels sticky to admit, but, you know, like I spent a lot of years thinking that, if I'm blatantly honest, people who highly value family are boring.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm someone, I'm very growth driven. And I don't know, somewhere along the lines, I've circled back and now it's like I really find someone with family values to be really honorable, you know, it's a really honorable value to have.
Yeah.
And I think part of it has been like what you said there, like that piece, that's the magic. Like that's what life is actually all about. Like, yes, go out and strive and have your goals and that, but actually really feeling
Yeah.
You know, and feeling to such a depth, like that's what it's about. That's why we go out and do the things that we do. That's why we have the goals that we have, so that we can feel. And, you know, there's that saying, what's that, that quote that circulates about how, like, you can do all the work, but until you're sitting there with your family, yeah. like, you don't know how much, you know,
yeah, like you that's think the, you're healed, but yeah. go spend a week with your yeah. family.
And so it's really funny because I'm now, and this is only clicking as we talk, but I'm like, oh my God, I spent so long actually avoiding, like, I was out chasing growth. And I was actually avoiding the thing where I was going to get the most growth from.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think part of this was COVID. COVID kind of shutting the world down and limiting my access to my family interstate. It landed for me like, holy shit, my biggest points of growth come from like healing some of the wounding from my relationship with my family and learning to love them as they are and learning to love myself as I am as a result of how they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, learning how to just be so fucking open-hearted and grateful, regardless of whether dad hugged me enough as a kid or whether mum yeah. was a helicopter parent or, you know, like whatever fucking stories I made up in my head yes. as a kid, you know? Yeah. And so like I often, you know, I have regular phone calls with mum and dad and sometimes I just get off the phone from them after and I'm like, I love you
yes.
so fucking much. Like, how did I not appreciate you more as a kid?
I know.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah. That's where I'm at too. Like, and I think I was saying this to you the other day about the books that I gave them 1 year, and this was a long time ago, but I gave them these books of like, that literally just ask you all these questions and you get to fill them in. And so it's like, what was your childhood like? What was your first job? Who was your first love? All those kind of questions, because I wanted to know about them and have that for when they are gone. I want to be able to look back on that and be like, oh yeah, that was my mum's first job, or that was her first love, you know? And granted, I've given it to them. They haven't filled them in properly, but or fully, not properly. They haven't finished filling them in. But, you know, they just forget sometimes, or they've moved and then it's been misplaced and stuff. So it just reminded me the other day when we're talking about it, I was like, I need to remind them of that because I want to have that stuff. You know what? It even, and I think you might have said something like this the other day in our conversation too. When I watch movies or even like series, TV series now, in any of them, if a parent dies,
oh
I get so emotional because I think, I can't imagine that being me. Like, I actually just cannot imagine my life without my parents. Yeah. Like, because, you know, we're getting to an age where it's like, we were saying this the other day. When you're young, you see them as like, oh, they're invincible. Mm. They're not going to die. They're not going to go anywhere. Like, or some people do feel that way. But, and I definitely felt that way. But as I got older, I was like, oh, wow, shit, they're in their 70s. They're at an age now where anything could happen.
Yeah.
At any time.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing for me. Like, I, you know, I go and see mum and dad in Adelaide. I try, you know, twice a year. Obviously with COVID, it limited that a whole bunch more. But, you know, like not seeing them for so long, you notice the changes more, you know.
Yes.
They're a lot more obvious. And so there's been times where mum's picked me up from the airport or dad's picked me up from the airport and I get in the car and I'm like, oh, that's right, you're aging.
Yeah.
You know, and like, fuck. And yeah, I'm the same. Like I, you know, in my head, my mum and my dad are still like in their 40s,
yeah.
you know, and it's like they'll forever be in their 40s yes. to me. And then I think about like, fuck, dad's getting close to 70, you know, like, and 70 in my head is like, that's grandpa.
Yeah.
Like what? You know, and I look at mum, like mum's mid 60s and she's still got her, you know, bleached blonde hair and her, you know, she still dresses fashionably and whatever else, which isn't to say that that age you can't, but,
yeah.
you know, in my head, I'm still kind of in that paradigm of like, when you're getting close to 70, you have your grandma gray perm, you know? So it's yes. such a spin out that I'm like, no, there's like a big discrepancy here.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were saying, I took myself on a solo movie date last night to go see Top Gun. And for anyone that's seen Top Gun, you know, it kind of centers around the storyline of Tom Cruise's best friend passing and then, you know, him sort of taking on like this fatherly role to his friend's son. And like I was sitting there in the cinema fucking bawling, having that same thought of like, there will come a day where both of my parents will be gone.
Mm.
And when that day comes, it is going to fuck me up. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine not having my parents here.
I know. Like, yeah. And I always think about this with my parents and their parents, because all of my grandparents are gone. And I used to think, like, when that happened over time, I would think, oh, I would never really check in with my mum or dad of, like, how do you feel now? Like, your parents are, both of your parents are gone. Because I kind of seen them as, like, more of an adult than me. Like, I'm not an adult, but I would see them as, oh, they're an adult. They know how to deal with that. Like, I'm sure that they're fine. And they would say something if they weren't. But, like, there are times when I can see, you know, even my dad with his mum, because his dad passed a long time ago, but my nonna's only been gone for maybe 5 or 6 years now, but there's times where I can see where if we talk about her, you can just kind of see that kind of sadness or emotion in his face, you know, and he may not express it, but you know that it's there. And I'm like, fuck, I actually just never even check in with you. Like, how do you feel now that Nonna's gone? You know, like, because exactly what you just said, like, I know that even just thinking about it now, I'm like, I can't. Like, I don't know how to deal with that or how I would deal with that.
You know, all of my grandparents have passed as well. And, you know, they passed. I mean, my last grandparent passed. How old would I have been? 21, I think I was. And at 21, I was still, you know, selfish, like going out partying all the time, like very me focused. And I look back now and I'm like, fuck, I wish I asked more questions. Yeah. You know, like I really believe that our elders are the wisdom keepers and that they're not valued nearly enough, you know. Sadly, Westernized society kind of puts them in the corner and forgets about them. And yeah, I'm like, fuck, I wish I asked more questions. I wish I learnt more about their life, you know?
Yeah.
And so now in the brief and fleeting moments that my parents start to tell me stories of their upbringing or their life, I'm like, yes, like, tell me more. And it's funny because, you know, I remember like my grandma used to tell the same stories over and over. Yeah. And everyone would kind of like look at each other and kind of roll their eyes like, here we go again. But now I'm like, no, like my dad tells the same stories over and over. And I'm like, tell it again, dad. Like,
yeah.
You know, and every time I actually listen for that little bit more detail, or like I try and pluck just that little bit more detail out. Cause it's those stories, once they're gone, they're gone, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Even last time I was in Adelaide, my dad, we went and visited the little country town that my dad grew up in. And he gets into these nostalgic moods, and he pointed out the church in the town, which is where my grandpa, dad's dad, his funeral was hosted. And then so dad's like, just take note of where the church is, right? So the church, it was all opened up, and like there were people lined up out the door because not everyone could fit into the chapel. And so then dad drives us out to the cemetery, and he basically said that the people at the start of the line got to the cemetery and had something like a 20-minute wait for the end of the line to come from the church, because it was just that long a funeral procession of all the people that had touched, you know, that my pop had, whose lives my pop had touched.
Yeah.
And hearing dad talk about that, and he's told me that story a couple of times, but like his pride of like how notable in society, in the community, my pop was. Like, oh, it's one of my favorite stories because, you know, yeah, it's just that family pride, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah. Speaking of stories, and what I was sharing with you the other day, like my dad tells me stories about when he used to be at the pub and, you know, like mates of his who sculled jugs of beer and then had to vomit and so vomited back into the jug of beer. And I just like, I love that shit. Like when he tells me that stuff, I'm like, you were loose, like you and your mates were loose when you were young. And not to mention, he used to get up me all the time for being out drinking and like out till 5 a.m. Like, you know, whenever I was at their place, he'd be like, he would be going for a walk in the morning and I'd just be coming home from the pub. And he'd be like, what time is this then? And I was like, nah, you used to do it when you were young. But also just that his stories about like how different things were, and him getting his license. Like, he was driving for years before he actually got his license. He lived in a small country town, but he was driving for years before he actually got his license. But he drove to the police station to get his license. And they were like, you've been driving for years. And he's like, yeah, but I'm actually of age now to get my license. And they're like, oh, yep, just write one out. Like, and they literally did it that easily for them, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite things about my dynamic with my mum now that I'm a bit older, is like kind of being able to speak with her on the same level, you know? Mm. Like and this is no secret, like my background when I was younger, I used to hang out with a lot of gangs and, you know, take drugs and all of that sort of stuff. And like the last time I saw mum in person, we were talking about it. And, you know, I said to her, like, did you know? And she's like, I knew there was something going on, but I knew that the more I pressured you to get out of it, the deeper into it you'd go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like being able to have that level of conversation with her is really cool. And I sort of said to her back, you know, that, yeah, like if you had have tried to pull me out, you're exactly right. I would have just said, fuck you and gone in deeper.
Yeah.
And mum said to me, she's like, you know, like I guess as well, there was this part of me that knew that you were going to get yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, that you just had to have your little like experience and figure out that it's not where you wanted to be and pull yourself out. But it's just so cool to be able to, you know, to have that conversation. And now, like, when I do have phone calls with mum, it's like we share advice with each other, you know? And I think that kind of does come down to that piece again of, like, because when I first got into self-development, I'd nitpick mum, you know, and like, oh, I can see her wounding there and I can see her limiting belief there. And I would try and sort of force feed her self-development.
Yeah.
And she'd push back. Whereas now it's cool. She'll ring me up and be like, hey, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah.
You know, and because I've accepted her as she is. And so now she's sort of seeking it of her own accord, which is really beautiful. And yeah, just to have that new level of relationship with her is, fuck, I'm so grateful.
Yeah. And this, like, I think that happens a lot where particularly coaches and people who are in the self-development field start to do that with everyone, not just our parents, but we start to pick like where we can see certain conditioning and behaviors and patterns and stuff in other people. And that's the beauty of loving people where they're at with anyone, just not, you know, not just our parents. Like if you are looking at someone and picking at all the things that they're doing wrong, quote unquote wrong, or their patterns and stuff like that, and pointing it out to them and saying, you've got this, you've got that, most people are going to not want to dive into that. They're just going to, especially if they're not in that kind of arena.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, don't bring your shit here to me. Like, they don't want to have to look at it when they're being told to look at it, right? Like a lot of people. So the beauty of loving people where they're at is just that they get to come to those realizations themselves. They feel accepted.
Yeah.
They feel seen.
Yeah.
As they are.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, like, that's all we need. Yeah. That's all we needed. Like when we get into this work, you realize like all I want is to be fucking seen and heard.
Yeah.
By everyone in my life.
Yeah. What most high performers don't realize is the degree at which their performance is based upon not only their mindset, but more notably upon how their somatic body, their energetic body, their nervous system is wired to handle stress, pressure, or a lack of stress and pressure. And so because of this, I created High Performance Nervous System Regulation, the Masterclass. And this is a 90-minute masterclass training on everything you need to know for somatic regulation, mindset regulation, and basically rewiring your system to be in alignment with high performance and performing well under high pressure, high stakes circumstances. And so to gain access to this training, head to www.thelivefreeexperience.com/HPNS. The link is in the show notes, and I look forward to hearing your feedback on how you go with the training. Well, this is a thing, right? Like when you have someone come to you and say, hey, I noticed this pattern in you, even if it's not the intention, there's a subtle shaming in there. Like there's a subtle story of like, you're still not there. You're still not enough. Mm-hmm. And I think the only true way to transform is through love and safety, you know? And so, yeah, I've definitely witnessed that in mum, like all the times where I would point things out to her, she would sort of resist them. Yeah. And, you know, now when she rings me and will, you know, say, oh, this happened, I feel this, you know, and it's something she might be challenged by. It's like, Mom, that makes sense. Of course you're feeling that way, you know, yeah. like, and acknowledging what's true for her. And it's the coolest thing ever.
And I think
loving people into transformation.
Yeah. And I think the only probably difference for us in particular being coaches is when you have a client and they're paying you to give them that stuff, you know, like we're talking more about like friends and family and stuff who aren't like asking for it.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, that's a big thing that we know in personal development is like people either come to you and pay for that kind of feedback, or you get to ask first, hey, I know that noticed this thing. Are you open to me sharing feedback with you?
Yeah, totally. One of my favorite things, you know, as my parents age is that feeling of giving back to them. Cause you know, I mean, obviously like you grow up and there's almost this like unpayable debt.
Yeah.
You know, not that, I mean, it's not a debt, but you know what I mean? Like my parents have sacrificed and given so much for me to have the life that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I could ever, ever return the favor. But just those fleeting moments where, you know, you get the chance is like, oh, you know, like my mum, she's yet to come up to the Gold Coast, but being able to, you know, the thought of her coming to the Gold Coast and me giving her a place to stay.
Yeah.
You know, when she's let me stay at her place so many times, or like, oh, don't go down to Adelaide and mum and I will have dinner together, and it's like my shout.
Yeah.
You know, or like, Mum, I'm going to take you to the movies. Like instead of you taking me to the movies.
Yeah.
You know, and Dad came up to the Gold Coast last year briefly. Last year. And being able to be like, hey, Dad, let me show you around.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the beach that I go to.
Yeah.
You know, these are my friends. Like, yeah, it's, I fucking love that feeling. And it really drives me. It really drives me to be able to go, like, as my parents enter their later years, I want to be able to provide for them and to give back to them and make sure that if they need me, I'm there, you know?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And what's really interesting for me is like when you're talking about it, my parents don't let us do anything. They don't let us pay for anything. They don't let us like, you know, every time, like I go, I'll ring Mum and be like, hey Mum, I want to take you to the movies this weekend. She'd be like, yeah, that'd be lovely. And so we go there and she pulls a card out to pay. And I'm like, no, the point of me bringing you is so I'll pay. And she's pushing my hand away and going, no, I'll get it. It's Dad's card anyway. That's what she'll say usually. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, no, Mum, I'm paying this time. And sometimes I'll just wait, okay, whatever. Because that's one of the things that I really realized too. I think you and I had this conversation a couple of years ago when we lived together the first time about just how much parents want to support their children.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were having a conversation. I remember in the mansion, we were having a conversation about getting money, borrowing money from our parents. And I was saying like something that I've realized is even when my dad might have said to me before, if I've asked for money and he might've gone like, oh, why don't you have any money this week or whatever it is, right? He will still always give it to me.
Yeah.
And he'll always give me extra.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, Dad, I didn't ask for that extra. And he goes, oh, just keep it in the bank. Just keep it for something else next week or whatever. But I came to this realization myself of like, that's his job. Like he sees that as his job. Like not that I see that as his job, but he sees that as his job. Like he is such a family man. He is like, because he's old school Italian too. And it's like, he is created to provide for a family. That's their thing.
Yeah.
And he loves that. He loves to be able to give to his family, no matter what it is. Even if he initially is like, rolls his eyes or whatever, like he still likes it. That's part of his DNA.
Yeah. I always laugh at like, you know, over the years I've borrowed money from Dad. It makes me laugh because I'll go to pay it back. And, you know, the amount of times I've basically had to beg him in the past to give me his bank details so that I can finally pay this money back. You know, and he always says, oh, don't worry about it. Hang on to it for when I need a loan or, you know, when I'm old and I'm in the nursing home or whatever. And it used to piss me off because I used to be like, for fuck's sakes, Dad, like, I'm an adult. Like, let me pay this fucking debt back.
Yeah.
I used to make it mean that he thought I was incapable.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, no, that's Dad loving me, you yeah. know? And even like with Mum, there's been times where she's lended me money and I've sort of said, oh, you know, you don't need to do that. And she's like, no, like, that's what I'm here for. And, you know, my parents did this for me, so now I'm doing it for you. And yeah, you're so right. It's yeah. like I used to resist it like crazy and make it mean that they thought that I couldn't look after myself. But now, you know, like, and that's partly my journey of learning how to receive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's seeing it for what it is, you know, not yeah. making it mean that I'm not enough, but instead seeing it as proof that like I'm more than enough. Like yeah. these people love me unconditionally.
Yeah. You know? And you know what? I have, whenever I go to my parents' house now, my dad, as soon as I'm there, he goes, do you need anything to eat? Do you need to take any snacks home? What, we've got avocados, there's bananas there if you want. Like he'll literally point everything out and go, do you want to take some of these? Are you right for money? Do you need money? Like when I leave, and it's so cute. I'd love it because it's like, it just makes me feel taken care of yeah. and loved and like seen and just held,
yeah.
you know, by my parents as a 40 odd year old woman.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to feel that, like to, especially for me, like I've had, my dad and I have butted heads a lot in over the years because we're very similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, he used to come to our place that my sister and I owned in Brisbane years and years ago, and he'd come there and want to change everything to the way he has it at his house. And I'd be like, Dad, that's your house. You can have it there at your house that way. Cute. In this house, we do things this way. You just adapt to that.
Yeah.
But he'd be like, no, but you shouldn't do it like that. You should do it this way because that's the right way. And I used to hate it, but I realized like I'm so much like him where I would be like, well, this is just normal. Of course you do it this way. Like yeah. you wouldn't do it any other way because this is normal.
Yeah. Ugh. In 2020 when, you know, when COVID hit, I think I really was woken up to the fact like our time with the people we love is limited, you yeah. know, no matter what age they are. And so I really sat with, you know, and partly because I wasn't in a position because of COVID where I could fly and see them whenever I wanted. And this was a huge stretch for me, huge stretch. I wrote both Mum and Dad a letter each, so individual letters, and basically just poured out everything to them. It's going to make me emotional.
Mm.
You know, I told them my favorite memories of them and like the things that they've said or done over the years that have meant the most to me.
Mm.
And, with Mum, it was fairly easy because Mum and I, you know, I've grown up with Mum. We've always told each other how much, you know, we love each other and respect each other and so on. With Dad, not so much.
Yeah.
And the thing that kind of got me over the line with actually sending that was that I sat back and went, fuck, like if something happened to me tomorrow or something happened to Dad tomorrow and I never got the chance to tell him how I feel, I would be shattered. Like yeah. I would regret it for the rest of my life. And, Dad never mentioned it to me. He did mention it to Mum and, you know, it was, is Brie okay? Like, is there, you know, like, is there something going on for her? But I'm so glad that I did that because, yeah, I'd be shattered if something happened and I'd never got to tell him. Yeah. And the really cool thing is, you know, there's particular key memories. There were things that I wrote in that letter saying, you know, like the times when we went and did this, there are some of my favorite memories of you. And you know, when I hear a truck engine, that always reminds me of you, you know. And yeah, when I went to Adelaide most recently, a lot of those things that I said were my favorite memories, Dad made an effort to take me to go and do,
aww.
You know. And it was like, oh,
that's like so cute.
It fucking landed for him. And I think yeah. as well, you know, there's that piece, especially our parents' generation of, there's a trained disconnect from their feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean, even with our generation, I think society in yeah. general, there is a big disconnect from feelings. And so I wanted to give both Mum and Dad the opportunity to fully receive my love for them without the pressure of me standing there in front of them with the yes. awkwardness of, you know, them having to receive it in and process it. In,
and respond.
Yeah, and respond yeah. in person, you know. Yeah. I wanted them to be able to, if it took them 5 days to read through the letter,
yeah.
you know, and bawl their eyes out or, you know, whatever process they needed to go through, they were able to do that, you know, in their own time and privately and without me kind of standing there waiting for a response.
Yeah.
And it's something that they can keep, you know, that letter, like, well, I mean, they may have thrown it out, I don't know, but I assume not, I'd hope not.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have that forever and they can refer back to it whenever they want.
Yeah.
So I really think, like, if anyone's listening to this and you haven't, you feel like for whatever reason, even if it's not your parents, even if it's, you know, like someone else in your life, you haven't had the opportunity to really tell them how you feel.
Yeah.
Write a fucking letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so healing for me, the most healing thing.
And probably very healing for them.
Yeah.
Because this is something I've been talking about with clients of, like, particularly with their parents, having, like, clearing conversations with them, whether it's through a letter and turns into a conversation, whether it's just through a letter, whether it's calling them and talking to them or doing it face-to-face, but having a conversation that's clearing for everyone involved, but particularly you, to clear any blocks that are there for you, anything that you're feeling that maybe was a disconnect between you. The thing I think that we really get to remember is that, yes, it's a block clearing for you, but also we just never know how healing that can be for someone else.
Totally.
Particularly our parents. And I've been talking to my clients about, you know, having the conversation with them so that they can also share their experience with you of you as a child. And like what their experience was and what they were going through during that time.
Yeah.
Because that helps you to understand more about what went on for you when you understand them and what was going on for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's relevant across the board. And I've learned the hard way over many years not to make assumptions.
Yeah.
You know, like in those moments where someone hasn't showed up for you in the way you wanted them to or whatever, you know, like in the past I have taken it. You know, and I guess this is trauma response. This is abandonment wounding or, you know, it was my stuff to work on, but I've made the mistake of making it mean something. And then thankfully I've circled back with those people and had the conversation and like, what was going on for you at that time? And they tell me and it's like, oh my God, I made this all about me. And I had no fucking idea that you were like in the pit of struggle at that time. Of course you weren't able to show up for me in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably one of my biggest learnings in life is not to make everything about me, you know, and to look for where what I want to be true is true.
Yeah.
You know, like in the case of mum and dad, I want to believe that they love me and they care for me and they appreciate me and they'd go to the ends of the earth for me. And so what we look for, we find, and I see it everywhere, you know, like I wholeheartedly deeply believe it to be true. And there's proof of that everywhere.
Yeah, because we're always looking for the evidence.
Yeah.
Whether it's quote unquote good or bad, we're always looking for the evidence of where they did wrong or where they did right.
Yeah.
According to us. So if you start to think my dad never loved me or my mum was awful to me, you're going to automatically, your brain goes to these are all the places where she's done that or he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you change that perspective and start to, if you want to look at, well, where are all the places that they've actually shown up for me and loved me? Your brain is going to go to that.
Mm.
So you're going to find the evidence either way, whatever you're looking for.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, like I hate to go down the cliche route, but the love languages thing really comes into play. You know, if I use, you know, my mum and dad as the example, like touch and words of affirmation are my key love languages. And I got that from mum, you know, like mum would always cuddle me. She would always verbally tell me she loved me and she's proud of me and so on. For dad, that wasn't the case. So I grew up thinking mum loves me, dad doesn't, you know. And then so I spent so many years wondering why dad doesn't love me. And then when I found out about love languages and I realized, oh my God, there's like quality time, there's gifts, and then there's acts of service. And dad is heavy on acts of service.
Yeah, right.
You know, and now it's like, how did I not see all those years where he went above and beyond for me? And also on the flip side, realizing how often I probably unintentionally made him feel unloved. You know, because one of the things when I'm in Adelaide, dad will pop around to visit and it cracks me up. He sits down on the couch and he'll be like, how about a coffee? you know, because his love language is acts of service.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, make me a coffee, aka show me that you love me.
Yeah.
And because that's not really, well, hasn't been in the past my way of showing love, I've gone, nah, you know, or I've gone like, oh, what'd your last slave die of? Or like kind of cracked a joke. Now I'm like, oh my God, that's dad saying, please like love me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, you know? So now it's like, I see dad's car roll up and it's straight away, dad, do you want a coffee?
Yeah.
You know, because, and I thought I was showing him love because I would tell him I love him and, you know, like I would, yeah, I would verbally express it, but he wouldn't have been fully receiving it because that's just not his language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me trying to speak Japanese to him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a key one for me, really. Realizing that my way isn't the way.
Yeah.
And being willing to learn someone else's language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that too. And I, you know, for me, my love language is quality time. And so what I will generally do is want to spend time with my parents, even if it means we literally just sit there. Sometimes I'll go visit them and we'll have a coffee and or I'll have a tea or whatever. And we'll just sit there. And sometimes we'll just sit, drink our tea, have a bit of conversation. We might have a snack. That's it.
Yeah.
Like that for me is like, oh, okay, I got my quality time with them. And just being in their presence for me is like, it can literally be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I feel connected to them in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, like with dad, with the acts of service thing, like obviously, I guess it's a bit harder for him to show that because I'm, you know, interstate. So previously when I lived in Adelaide, his way was fixing the car or like, you know, like he'd come round, take my car out, fill it up with petrol, come back and, you know, oh, by the way, I filled your car out with petrol. So me being up here, that's shifted a lot. But it makes me laugh. Like I had last year car issues and it was the coolest experience. It was like having like these little loving minions running around in the background figuring this out for me. So basically what happened, I was having car issues and for me that was always the place where dad would step in and be the hero kind of thing. You know, he would fix the car. So being away, it's like, oh, I don't know who to turn to. And so I remember ringing dad and saying, you know, I'm having these car problems. And then it was like dad was on the phone connect, like getting connected to all his network to try and figure out if they knew anyone up here. And it was like within half a day, I'd had this connection set up and it was, you know, here's this number, drop the car off. We've got you booked in for Tuesday. He's going to give you a discount.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, oh my God, like what the fuck, you know? Yeah. And so like, that's been really cool to just witness the love's still there regardless of the distance, you know?
Yeah. I can totally see my dad in that as well. Like acts of service are big for him too because he does the same thing. And he used to do the same thing when Debbie and I lived together, my sister and I lived together. He would come to our house, like I was saying before, but he'd want to fix everything too. He'd be like, what do you need fixed? What's broken? What's this chair? What's going on with this chair here? Like, and I would be like, just leave it. Like, it's annoying. What are you trying to do? Like, stop trying to like fix our house up. But I realized after a while, like, oh, that's actually how he shows his love for us. It's like his way of making us feel like we're supported and held and loved by, oh, I don't want you to sit on a rickety chair that has one leg. I want to fix it for you.
Yeah.
I don't want this window to be broken. I want to make sure that you're safe. Like that sort of stuff, you know? It's really beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, that's that thing. Like it would be so easy to have that happen and go, oh, dad thinks that, you know, I'm broke or that I'm, you know, like living in poverty or that I'm not able to look after myself.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, when you get past your own bullshit story, you know, and not saying that was the case for you, but I know that for me, it would have been easy to take it that way.
Yeah.
Once you get past that shit, you start to realize like your parents are just only ever trying to love you.
Yeah. I was just thinking too, like it again comes back to that like evidence, right? Of us searching for like, where's all the places that like, if we see one thing of, oh, he wants to fix this thing at my house, like that makes me feel less independent.
Mm.
And that was generally the case for me because I had created this like really independent persona of like, no, I can do things by myself. I can fix this. I can do that. But the beauty and the magic is in, and the medicine for me is in letting him do that and allowing him to fix those things because he's my dad, because he wants me to feel loved and safe and all the rest of it. Even when my own shit is coming up of like, oh, that makes me feel less independent. You know, like I want to feel like I'm an independent woman. I can do that. But just letting him do that for me and actually receiving that has been so like magical for me.
Well, the thing is as well, when you turn it down because of your own stuff, you're taking away their opportunity to love you.
Yeah.
You know, and like I know I've had experiences where you're like excited to give someone something and they shut it down and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember a good friend of mine, he complimented me on an anklet that I'd made for myself, and I made him one. And I remember like I was so excited to gift him this. When I gave it to him, like he just wasn't able to fully receive it. And admittedly, he apologized later, but I almost felt like, oh, you know, like when he received it, but uncomfortably, you know? And for me, it was like, it dampened it. I was like, oh, like, did I overstep? Yeah. Like what just happened, you know? And so like, I think it's so important that we learn to receive, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of actually being able to keep that love flowing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Something else that's been really beautiful for me to witness too in my parents is just how I think since all the kids are grown up and they've all gone now, just how beautiful my parents kind of fit together and work together. Like you can just see how much like, I don't know, there's just something special about it, I think, where, you know, like, I mean, people in relationship, everyone has experienced, I'm sure, their parents arguing and fighting, whatever. But just as you're getting older and as they're getting older, witnessing them coming to this space of like kind of feeling like, oh, it's just us two now, all the kids are gone. Yeah. Like, yes, we have them close by, but they're not in our house.
Yeah.
It's just us two and we have things the way we like them, and they have their routines and they have like a cup of tea at 10 o'clock in the morning together and like all that sort of stuff. And they watch the game shows at 4 o'clock in the afternoon together. Like, it's so cute. And when I lived there with them for a bit back in 2018, when they lived up north still, I used to do it with them. Aww. I'd have dinner with them at 5:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and watch the game shows with them if I was home, because it was just such a beautiful time for us to just, even if we're not necessarily having deep and meaningful conversations, but we're just still connecting.
Yeah.
That time for me actually was so special to spend with them. I ended up spending a couple of years up there at their house. It was just me and them, and without my other sisters there, without anyone else, it was just like, it felt like for me, it was my time to connect with them and build, you know, deeper relationships. Yeah, it was really special.
I always watch my mum and dad and like they're at each other's throats, but there's so much love in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are fucking rock stars. Like, they're so cool, you know, and like they have each other's backs.
Yeah.
You know, like even though they piss each other off like nothing else, it's like they've got each other.
Yeah.
You know, underneath it all, they would go to the ends of the earth. And they do go to the ends of the earth for each other, you know.
Yeah, that's really beautiful too when you think about, because your parents aren't actually together. Mm. So like, and I have friends who are like this, and, you know, when you see couples like that who are parents – who, or not couples, but they've separated, but they have children, but they can still be so connected to each other and just amazing parents, regardless of their differences for each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, or differences with each other in their own relationship. It's just really beautiful that you can kind of put that stuff aside and come together as a parent dynamic for your child.
Totally. And, you know, like this is that piece again, and I feel like I'm harping on this, but I spent so many years thinking that I didn't have, because of mum and dad, I didn't have a good blueprint of what a good relationship is. And that's why I've had shitty relationship experiences in the past. But now it's like a higher viewpoint. I'm like, no, like it's because of them that I have such a great blueprint of what a good relationship is.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, they've got each other.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, it's like, it all kind of, like, I could see both. I could see both in it, but it's like, which one do I choose?
Yeah.
You know? And so I choose to see all the places where mum and dad showed me exactly what I needed to see to be able to have really deep, purposeful, connected, meaningful relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for anyone that wants to connect with Kim, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at kim.demassey or on Facebook, but I generally am not on my Facebook that much, but I'm just Kim Demassey on there. But I'm usually on Instagram. So beautiful. That's where the stuff is.
Cool. Thanks for bringing a slightly different flavor.
I know. It was really nice. It was good to just kind of connect into that or deepen into that, just the beautiful magic and awareness and emotions even around our parents and families and family values.
Yeah. We were laughing before over the last couple of days of like, you're going to cry and then I'm going to cry and we're both going to cry.
And we did.
And we both did. Yeah. And I've made the executive decision. There was when we hit record at the start of the episode, maybe like 5 seconds in, the smoke alarm started going off. So I'm absolutely going to get my podcast editor to attach that at the end because it was just, oh.
Wait, we have to tell them first. What happened was right when we were practicing to see if the microphone was suitable for both of us sitting here, there was, because they're doing a fire alarm test, and they said over the loudspeaker, it said, "This is a fire alarm test. This is a fire alarm test." And we kind of laughed. And then I said, "What if it happens again?" And Brie was like, "No, I think they only do it once." And then she started to record and the alarm actually went off and we just could not stop laughing. It was so brilliant.
Oh, true to form. I feel like it could only happen with you, I swear. Amazing. Well, Kim, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued, and I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts, every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to you all soon. All right. So I'm very excited about this episode. I'm here joined by...